Bibles to 1 Peter. Well, in the 8 o'clock service, we've been going to 1 Peter, and I think this passage that we're going to go through, we kind of covered it last week, but we're going to specifically focus on a few verses, and I think it's good, especially for you new sixth graders. It introduces what velocity is all about, what's going on at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we would like to encourage you guys to bring your Bibles. Bring a pen. Bring a notebook. You know, the cool thing is about a Bible, although this is a poor example because this is kind of a special Bible, and so there's very few markings in it, but I have another Bible where I got it. I write all over it. You know, bring a Bible to make notes in it. I encourage you to bring a journal so when you take notes, it helps you retain the things that God is speaking to you about. Because a journal is, it could be a journal of God's conversations to you in Bible study. But God still speaks today. He still talks. And, you know, you'll learn to know His voice. You'll be sitting in study, and you know God is talking to you, addressing you in an issue. It could be an area. It could be an encouragement. It could be a reminder how much God loves you. Write it down. And what's nice about a journal is you can always go back weeks later, months later, even years later, and you could discover the things that God was speaking to your heart. And you could see in the time and the place where God was teaching you. So I encourage you, bring your Bibles, bring your pens, bring a journal, and so that you can learn. So you can be a journal of God's conversations. And also, I think that's also what I've got to say. But to the study. What are the essentials? Oh, yeah, one more thing. Back up. When I teach, I don't like to be the only one talking. So if you have a question, and leaders, if you have something you want to, like, share, please do. And you know what? I'm a radical kind of guy. I don't even like people raising their hands. I mean, maybe it kind of a little bit. Just if you want to ask a question, or you say, I have a question, or I would like to add something, please do, because, you know, if you're engaged, you're going to learn. I don't want you to sit there like, oh, he's talking to me again. You know, be a part of it, okay? And we'll get through it. All right, so what are the essentials for living? If you were to boil it all down, what would it be? Say it again. Food, water, God. What? Shelter. Now we need a little shelter, right? Which was over here? Somebody say something over here? Oh, what was it? Air. Yeah. We need air. And so if we were to reduce life, we could reduce it down to those essentials. And the most essential part for every human being is God. And why is that so essential? Why is God essential to our life? Yeah, that's true. I guess what I want to tell you is that God is eternal. See, we can lose our air, we can lose our food, we can lose all that, we can die, but we're eternal beings. We're going to spend eternity somewhere, and our hope is my hope is that you'll choose to spend it with God. And so in the following passages, we're going to look at three essential points, and we're going to look first at the living Word of God, the living world of men, and the living way of God. So let's look at verse 24, and I'll read it to you. I got to turn there too. There we go. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is of the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. First of all, as I said, we're going to look at the living word of God. Let's look at verse 23 and read it again. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. First of all, we were created to hear God. We were created to hear God. Do you remember in the beginning, Adam? What was it like for Adam? God would come down and he'd walk with Adam in the cool of the day, and they would have these conversations, you know, and Adam says, "Well, Lord, I think I'm going to name that animal a hippopotamus. And, you know, he had this conversation. He had this fellowship, this relationship with God. But what happened when sin came in? Lost relationship. Say that again. Everything went down the drain. That is so true. And so we were created for that. But now here Peter says, having been born again. If you ask Jesus into your heart, you were born again. See, we all love little babies. But that baby that's born, even though he's alive, spiritually he's dead. He's dead. And he's depraved. I was born dead and depraved. Can you imagine? Me? Yeah. And so God, when we received the word by faith, he breathed into us new life and we were born again. Now, look at verse 22. We back up a little bit, and he kind of tells us how we were born again. He says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. God's word is alive. It's living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It could divide the thoughts, the intents of man. And so, we were born again through the word of God. So all of us had to hear the word of God. And what do we do when we hear it? What are we supposed to do, ideally? What's that? Answer it by what? And that is an act of, begins with an F. Faith. Faith. We believe by faith. And God transforms us. So we hear the word of truth and we believe it to be born again. And that first word is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how I got saved. God has been after my hide since I was a little guy. When I was probably in the fourth grade, me and my friends used to play in this field by this church. And I remember this. It was a Lutheran church, but the funny thing, it was a Baptist preacher came to that field and started talking to us and, "Have you guys been born again?" And he shared the gospel and the consequences of rejecting it. And, you know, and I didn't know any better. I said that sinner's prayer. But I don't know if I was born again then. And then years later in high school, my friend shared the gospel. He shared it so plainly and clearly. And it was literally like a light went on in my mind. And I thought, "Oh, Lord, that's how it's done. It's that easy." Well, Jesus did all the work. All I had to do was believe. And so, now notice in that verse, he says, born again, not of what? What are those two words? Can somebody tell me? Look in your Bibles in verse 23. What kind of word is it? There's two words. They're opposites. Yeah. So what's corruptible? Something that could be distorted. Something that can die. Something that, it's like a piece of metal that can rust. But the Word of God is incorruptible. It won't fade away. It's like this paper. If I was to take this paper and make a copy and make a copy of the copy and make the copy of the copy of the copy of the copy of the copy, what's going to happen to, well, the first, the very last copy, it's going to be distorted. It's corruptible. But God's Word is incorruptible. It changes us. And so, do you remember the parable of the sower? Jesus said, there was this farmer, he went out to this field and he started sowing seeds. And some seeds fell on the path and some fell in the stones. And others fell where the birds would eat it, and the others fell on the good soil. And his disciples asked him, well, Lord, what does this mean? Well, he says, well, the seed where falls where the birds eat them, the devil comes and he takes the word. He plucks it out of your heart. The deceitfulness of riches, the deceitfulness of life, you know, the devil steals it because, you know, as humans, and it's, we're like that because we live in this world. It's all that we know. We let things steal the Word of God because we're looking nothing but from an earthly perspective. And here God says, no, let it fall on the heart of faith. And then, you know, Jesus tells disciples, well, the stuff that fell on the hard ground, you know, it gets trampled down by life. And then the stones, our heart are stony and stuff. And then finally falls on the good soil, the heart of faith. And so we have this parable. The Word of God is like a seed. Now, in the next verse, notice Peter's going to make a contrast with the Word of God and the world of men. Let's look at verse 24. Because all flesh, is what? Is as grass. He's making a comparison. We're like grass. And all the glory of man is of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall away. You know, we were born to fade away. Notice, as I said, he's comparing our lives as grass. So every spring the grass sprouts and, you know, starts poking and the yellow starts turning green. And the more we water, the better the grass looks. But as summer goes, the flowers that come in spring, what happens? They start fading away. Any of you have irises at home? They're a spring flower. Or a tulip, it's a spring flower. By summertime, they're gone. And by the time fall comes, the grass starts turning yellow. And by winter, it's dormant. It's like it fades away. And that's what our life is like. Our life is like grass. We're only here for a short period. And you guys, see, how old are you sixth graders? I always forget. How old are you guys? How old? 11. I'm old. You know, I have to speak up. 11. And, you know, let's say the average life, let's just say for argument's sake, you're 10 years old, okay? Because it's easier to do math that way. And let's say the average lifespan of American is 80 years. So you lived 1/80th of your life. I mean, 1/8th of your life, 1/80th. 1/8th of your life. And me, I'm in my 40s. I'm like halfway done. You know, I don't have, I just need to live one more lifetime that I've already lived in, you know, kaputs. I'm in the presence of the Lord if he allows me to live that long. See, some of us may not see, well, I already have, but some of you may not see 20. Some of you may not see next week. We don't know. Life is nothing but a vapor, the Bible says. And, you know, like I've said before, I've been in this ministry long enough where we've buried some mid-high kids already. And, you know, when I was 7 years old, my brother was in high school. He died. I mean, he didn't even get to see 18. When I was in junior high, we broke for summer, and this one kid I used to hang around with in the seventh grade, well, he died that summer. He blew up in his garage. He was working on his motorcycle, and the gas fumes, poof. And so, we're not guaranteed. Life fades away. And, you know, life is an ebb and flow. We are born and we live for a period and a time, then we die. And somebody else is born. It's just like going over and over. But where do we place our hope? And our hope is in the Lord. Now, notice he compares the glory of man. You know, some people might be famous. They might be rich. They might be a great athlete. You know, they have this certain glory, especially when you get into high school. I remember in high school you have your big men on campus, and you know, what happened to them years later? You know, their glory has faded away. It was only for 3 years in high school and then it was gone. And then you become a nobody. And some guys seriously can't handle that. They can't handle that. And it really puts them in a funk. Some have killed themselves because they're no longer big man on campus. They're just regular Joe in the world. And so the glory fades away. It's short-lived. You know, you think about the famous people that we learn in school and we think, my, that's a pretty cool person. And you think, well, his glory's living. It's still going. But what happens when Jesus decides to create a new heavens and a new earth? Do you think he's going to be remembered? No. We forget about people, famous people. And so, truly, our glory is like leaves that are like fall leaves blown away with the coming winter's wind. It goes away. But notice, now that Peter is going to make another contrast. You guys know what a contrast? I said that word. What's a contrast, Gilbert? Black. That's a contrast. Tall. Yeah. Blue. Is that, I don't know what the opposite of blue is. Pink. Well, you know, that's logical, right? You said pink, right? That makes sense. Boys, blue. Girls, pink. You know, that makes sense to me. But anyway, it's a contrast. And you know, the funny thing is, I don't know if I told you this, but, you know, Peter's going to make another contrast. The fading life of man to the enduring word of God expressed through the gospel. Here we saw man is as grass, his glory is like the flower that fades away. And now he's going to make a contrast to something solid. Let's look at verse 25. Let's read it together. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which the gospel is preached to you. First of all, the contrast. Now, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but don't tell anybody I told you, but I'm going to tell you. There are big buts in the Bible. And there's one at verse 25. But the word of the Lord endures for how long? Forever. See the contrast? Here's man, he's like grass, his flowers, you know, it just blows away. Nothing certain, nothing, it's depressing. It's like when I was a kid, one of my favorite bands was the band Kansas, and they had this song, Dust in the Wind. And they go, all we are is dust in the wind. And you think about it, and you go, wow, that's so true. And by the way, that guy who wrote the song became a believer. He's a Christian. But that's what life is. But here it says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Solid. We want something certain in life, don't we? We do. And here God has given it to us. What's interesting about the word of God, Jesus told us that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never fade away. It will last forever. That's awesome. Do you think God keeps his promises? Yeah, see, he's not like me. You know, I'll make a promise and the circumstances will make me break my promise. Although I try to keep my promise, but there's times I had to go back on my word because of circumstances. But God doesn't say, you know, Gilbert, I've been thinking about it for a while, and I don't think I love you. He doesn't do that. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He loves you. He doesn't change his mind. It's not like some relationships. It could be marriage. Oh, when I met you, I loved you, and I made this promise to you, and now I changed my mind. You know, God is not like us. He'll love you no matter how much of a stinking rat you may be. I can't believe God loves me. I'm a stinking rat. He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. I mean, God loves us in spite of ourselves, or he loves us anyway. And it is his love that changes us. From glory to glory, he changes us. He works in our hearts and he pursues our hearts. Have you ever had the Word of God chase you? Oh, I have. Hounded me. And finally, when he wrestles me down to the ground, he changes me. The Word of God will chase you. I remember the first time I read the Bible. Talk about major conviction. Sermon on the Mount. I knew I was going to hell. I knew it. God's word was pricking at my heart. Pricking at my heart until finally the gospel was shared with me and I understood it in its glory and how God says it in the Bible, that it was like this burden taken off my back. See, God said in his word, you are to be holy, for as your Father in heaven is holy. I knew I couldn't be holy. I knew what was in my heart. I knew the thoughts and the intents of my heart. And it wasn't holy. But when the gospel was shared, I realized that it's not my work, but it's the work of Jesus Christ. And when I received that, his work in my life, the gospel, that's what changed me. That's when I started, was more empowered because Jesus is now living in me. I can now say no to sin. Before that, I was powerless. I was an animal. You know, when your friends, you know, say, well, we're animals and it's okay that we do that. Well, it's true because we are animals until God breathes new life into us and we can say no to sin. And so the word still abides in this world today, has the power over all who believe, and it will be the standard. An unbelieving world will be judged. Now, notice he says, now this is the word which the gospel has preached to you, living the way of God to the gospel message. You know, last night Pastor Dave shared from Romans chapter 5, and your parents probably will hear this message this morning. And Paul wrote in that, he said, when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. while I was a little stinking rat living my sinful life, Jesus was willing to die for me. He saw my life in the future. He knew what was inside my heart, and he was willing to get on that cross and die for me. Isn't that amazing? It's so amazing, I would put a Bible on my head and balance it. You know, it's that Jesus takes you as you are, and he allows his word to transform your life. So, in conclusion, this is the truth that will last all eternity. For God's word is eternal and living, and it will abide in our hearts if we allow it. As we shared last week, that every verse that you memorize, it's going to be with you for eternity. God has written his laws upon your heart. It's going to be with you for eternity. You know, sin is no different than it was 2,000 years ago when this was written, as it is in the 21st century. Now, you know, I used to hear this from a friend of mine. She used to say, well, you know, that was good for back then. You know, like, sin's more acceptable now. We're a sophisticated society, so it's okay. No, you just became more sophisticated in sinning. It's not okay. God will judge the world by the standard of his word. And so, God's living word chases us down to embrace us, to shine upon us. He wants to put grace in our hearts. And finally, God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, that we may know the way to live here on earth and in heaven. And so I want to give you three things before you go, okay? There's three things to remember from this study. Remember, you were born to hear God's word. So let's say it. I was born to hear God's word. Can we say it together? I was born to hear God's word. And remember, the most certain thing in life is God and his word. So let's say it. The most certain thing in life is God and his word. And thirdly, remember, the way of life, or the glory of life, is found through God's word. The glory of life is found through God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your word has endured the ages. It has endured the skeptics. It's endured all the criticisms that it's faced. And Lord, it's still alive and it's active and it's changing hearts today. And I pray, Lord, that it would change our hearts as I speak today. Start with me, Father. Start with me. And start in the lives of everybody here. We thank you, God, that you are certain. You are faithful. Even when we're faithless, you are faithful. And your word will endure all eternity. Write these on the tablets of our heart so that we may live it and glorify you through it. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Father, for your most holy name. And we thank you, Jesus, for dying for us and for living in us. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a good week. Hey, buddy. How are you? What's your name again?
Robert.
Robert.
The only reason I wanted to announce is because I saw this thing on the news where these people, instead of using burger buns for these burgers, they would use donuts instead of the buns for the burgers.
Oh, that's sweet.
And they would cook it with bacon and meat. I know, that's why I didn't want one.
Oh, man.
And I just
That doesn't sound too appetizing.